Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Putin does what he would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants.
Okay. All right. That's the woman who has never been the president before, Hillary Clinton. And when you hear her say things like that, oh, he wants to kill him, he wants to imprison them, rule without whatever she said. It's one of those things where your eyes get real big and you're like looking down to the side and it's like, who's going to tell her? But then you realize, no, she already knows. She already knows exactly what she's saying. She knows how ridiculously hypocritical her words are. And it's just kind of part of the plan. Donald Trump spoke outside of the courtroom as the trial wrapped up for the day. I'm told because an alternate juror had to go to the dentist. So things happened. I don't know what kind of dental emergency this was, but this Donald Trump trial is done for the day so that alternate juror can go see the dentist. And we've got Will Scharf, who's going to be with us from now up until like 12:40 this show. So if you have questions that you want Will to ask, get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can watch. He's going to join us here on Zoom. But we wanted to bring you Donald Trump's words that just took place about 20 minutes ago at the courthouse when he came out. Brad, let's go ahead and listen in to what he had to say.
Legal expense. That's the exact term they used. Legal expense in the books. And another thing that wasn't even said was we never even deducted it as a tax deduction. So that takes a whole vast area. Most people want to deduct everything. We never even took it as a tax deduction. But they call the payment to a lawyer a legal expense in the books. They didn't call it construction. They didn't say you're building a building. It called a payment to a lawyer because, as you know, Cohn is a lawyer. Represented a lot of people over the years. Now, I'm not the only one. And wasn't very good in a lot of ways in terms of his representation. But he represented a lot of people. But he puts in an invoice or whatever, a bill, and they pay and they call it a legal expense. I got indicted for that. What else would you call it? Actually, nobody's been able to say what you're supposed to call it. If a lawyer puts in a bill or an invoice and you pay the bill, and in the book, it's a little line, that's a very small little line. I don't know if you could even write more than two words. It's not like you could tell a life story. They marked it down to a legal expense. This is what I got indicted over. Think of it. I got indicted. I'm the leading candidate. I'm beating Biden. I'm beating the Republicans now. I have the nomination. And this is what they try and take me off the trail for. That checks being paid to a lawyer. He is a lawyer, or was a lawyer. And also the things he got in trouble for were things that had nothing to do with me. He got in trouble and went to jail. This had nothing to do with me. This had to do with the taxi cab company that he owned, which is just something he owned, and medallions and borrowing money and a lot of things, but had nothing to do with me. He represented a lot of people over the years. But they take this payment, and they call it a legal expense. And you heard it today for the first time. This is what I got indicted over. This is what took me off and takes me off the campaign trail, because I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. I should be in a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here. And this will go on for a long time. It's very unfair. The judge is conflicted, as you know. It's very unfair what's going on. And I should be allowed to campaign. And whoever heard of this, you got indicted for that? People in the court just said to me, I can't believe it. This is the case. So we did nothing wrong. The other thing is, if this were such a great case, why didn't the Southern District bring it, who looked at it, turned it down? Why didn't numerous other agencies and law enforcement groups look at it? Because it was shown to everybody. And very importantly, why didn't the federal elections do anything about it? Because this is federal, it's not state. They're trying to make it a state case, whatever. And it's not state, it has nothing to do. It's never happened before, I believe. Never happened before. This has never happened before, where the state tries to insert itself in federal elections. Never, nobody's ever seen it. But you know, federal elections took a total pass on it. They said essentially nothing was done wrong, or they would have done something about it. They're tough. They would have done something about it. But they said nothing, and they said, we're going to take a pass. Because they couldn't even believe it. Actually, if you read their letter, they couldn't even believe it. They were incredulous. And yet, Bragg picks it up. Now, with Bragg, if you look, when he first came in, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. Now, when are they going to look at Pomerantz and what Pomerantz did? Because that's bad stuff. And when are they going to look at all the lies that Cohen did in the last trial? He got caught lying in the last trial. So he got caught lying, pure lying. And when are they going to look at that? Now, we'll go to another subject, because just a few blocks away, as you know, they had a trial on the $175 million. That's Letitia James. It's all coming out of the White House, by the way. And that's in front of Judge Ngora. And the judge really didn't know anything. He didn't know about collateral security. He said, supposing it goes down. Well, it doesn't go down because it's cash. I put up $175 million in cash, and we have a bonding company do it. And he challenged the bonding company that maybe the bonding company was no good. Well, they're good, and they also have $175 million of collateral, my collateral. But the judge didn't know anything about it. He didn't know what the $175 million cash meant. He had no idea what anything meant. And he had no idea what he did in the trial. And he charged me hundreds of millions of dollars on something where I'm totally innocent. But if you look at what happened today, Judge Ngora should not have done that trial. It should have gone to the business division, where they have complex business trials. But actually, it should have never been brought, because I didn't overestimate. You know, they say I overestimated. If you look at the numbers, they're underestimated. I underestimated. I did the opposite of what they said. And the reason that they tried to, and they did it for their own narrative, they valued a $1 billion asset at $18 million. They valued other assets in as little, in order to build their narrative. They want to build a narrative. But if you look, and I have a complete record of what happened, Judge Ann Gordon had no idea what was going on, didn't understand the most simple concepts. And this is the man that took a case, and this is why businesses are they're moving out of New York, because they can't be subject to this. They'd be put out of business. They're moving out of New York because of it. But Judge Ingorn had absolutely no idea what had happened. He didn't realize we put up 175. When he found out we put it up, he said, what happens if it goes up or down? I said, it doesn't. Or they said, it doesn't go up or down. It's cash that we put up, all cash. Very few people could do that. And the deal was approved with the Attorney General. You can believe that. But the deal was approved. She just tried to embarrass everybody, and she tried to embarrass a very good bonding company by saying they weren't creditworthy. Well, they were creditworthy, and what was more important is they had a security, $175 million that I put up. But the point here is that the judge had no idea what was happening. And this is the same judge that 2 months ago made a ruling that shook the world. It shook the world because everyone knows going to that trial, I did nothing wrong. And over here, I did nothing wrong also. This is a Biden witch hunt to keep me off the campaign trail. So far, it's not working because my poll numbers are higher than they've ever been because the public understands that it's a witch hunt. Thank you very much.
Donald Trump speaking from New York, the New York City courthouse. And after that, that was the end of the trial for today. They will resume tomorrow. And I'm excited to have our next guest on the show. Will Scharf is going to join us. And for a couple of segments here, the remainder of this one and the next one, of course, you know him as one of the Trump attorney team members, former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri. You also know him as a candidate for Missouri Attorney General. And he has a very good outlook on the landscape of what we are watching take place with all of this lawfare against Donald Trump. Today's YouTube live chat poll, before we get Will on here, this is the first question that I'm going to ask him. So you can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and you can weigh in on this. Will Trump be found guilty in the initial hush money trial? Appeals, yes, the foul ball of the legal system. I need to know, in this trial, are you automatically convicted that he is going to be convicted for this hush money case? Will Scharf, let's get him on the show with us here. Will, thank you for joining us via Zoom this time and being able to have this conversation with you. I'll ask you that question, the YouTube poll for today. Do you think Trump's going to be found guilty in this initial hush money trial?
Well, look, I know that if the jury fairly considers the facts that will be in evidence at the end of the trial, that President Trump will be acquitted because he did nothing wrong. Now, you're asking me a different question, whether I think he's actually going to be acquitted or found guilty. Or I don't believe that he will be convicted because I think the facts here are so much on our side. It's really important to remember what this case is really about. It's called a hush money trial, but it's not about hush money at all. What's alleged here is that President Trump made fraudulent business entries in his personal ledger when he described payments to his attorney, Michael Cohen, as legal retainer payments. Now, a couple important facts that the mainstream media doesn't seem to want to cover. One, President Trump didn't make these entries in his ledger. These entries were made by a mid-level Trump Organization employee named Deb. She's a very sweet lady. Meanwhile, President Trump was off in the White House running the country. This was all in 2017. So I don't think they can even prove that President Trump made these entries in his ledger at all. And then on top of that, they were recording payments to Michael Cohen, his lawyer, $420,000 in payments to Michael Cohen as his lawyer as legal retainer payments, which to me seems entirely accurate. Cohen was his lawyer. He was doing work for him. There's no fraud here. The fact that this case has been brought to begin with is an absolute outrage. And I think President Trump's right when he says that at the end of the day, this is all about election interference.
We're speaking with Trump attorney Will Scharf here about the beginning of the what people are calling the hush money trial. But very good point there, Will, about what this is actually about. Talk to me a little bit about the judge, because when you're laying out these details that seem to be very poignant details in this trial, the jury and the judge are going to need to see the points that you're making and not be biased. I think there are questions as to whether or not Donald Trump can get a fair jury trial in Manhattan, in New York City. This judge has shown a little bit of political bias, according to Donald Trump. Do you think the jury and the judge can give him that fair trial that he deserves?
Oh, I think Judge Merchan has been terribly biased against us, as he's been biased in other political cases before. We moved to recuse him off the case. Under New York law, it's absolutely ironclad that he has a family financial interest here and he should have recused himself. He didn't. That's an issue we now have up on appeal before the New York Appellate Division. But at the end of the day, I believe that if the facts come into evidence, the actual facts in this case, it doesn't matter that any fair-minded juror is going to take a look at this and see things the way that we see it, that there was no fraud. President Trump did nothing wrong. And this whole trial is basically a farce. And you can see, you know, reports are coming out about opening arguments now. And the prosecution's the prosecutor who gave opening argument for them, he's talking about, you know, stuff from 6 years ago and trying to build this into something that it's not. This is a very simple case. Were the business records accurate or not? I believe they were accurate. Did President Trump order inaccurate records to be made. I don't believe he ordered anything. So as long as those facts come into evidence, and as long as the jury, you know, takes a deep breath and views things dispassionately when they finally get into the jury room, I think this is an 100% acquittal. There was a CNN legal analyst, Ellie Honig, who said on TV the other night, he's not a hardcore conservative by any stretch. He said that if this was a case brought in a 50-50 Biden-Trump jurisdiction, less of a blue jurisdiction, it would be an 100% acquittal. Absolutely no question, 100% acquittal. And I think that even in New York, we're going to end up getting what we need. We're going to get the right facts into evidence, and we're going to end up winning this thing.
Will Scharf speaking with us right now. We're going to take a quick break, Will. And when we come back, I want you to answer this question. Was today a good day or a bad day for Donald Trump? And then we'll get into what's going to happen next, the timeline of what people can expect with this specific trial taking place with Alvin Bragg and the hush money trial in Manhattan. And we'll also touch on that bond approval. Once again, Letitia James, she's going to keep trying, and she lost again. Will, hang on right there. We're going to be back with more with Will Scharf, who is a candidate for Missouri Attorney General, but a Trump attorney as well, and very well-versed on all of these legal issues. We're glad to have him. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's been quite a busy day. It's been a busy weekend, and we are happy to be covering everything that we can squeeze into 3 hours here on the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. We are currently speaking with Will Scharf, who is a Donald Trump attorney. He is a former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri, and he's also a candidate for Missouri Attorney General. We're happy to have him on the show to break down today what we heard so far in the commencement of opening statements and so on and so forth in the big hush money trial, which if you're listening to the first segment, we got a little bit better understanding of why it's not really even a hush money trial. So, Will, I told you the question that I was going to ask you when we came back is, was it a good day or a bad day for Donald Trump? What do you think?
I think it was a really good day. By all reports, opening arguments went exactly as expected, with Alvin Bragg's team spinning this weird conspiracy theory and our team just sticking to the facts. In addition to that, Judge Engoron in the ongoing civil case, this is this totally bogus civil fraud case where we currently have up on appeal. Engoron questioned the bond that we had posted to have the right to appeal. President Trump put down $175 million in cash, and Judge Engoron was trying to say that somehow that was insufficient. Well, he even seems to think that or believe that he bit off more than he can chew there. Because it looks like our bond is going to remain in place, mm-hmm. And we're going to continue having our rights to appeal that outrageous decision against President Trump in that case. So all in all, we're firing on all cylinders. Things seem to be going pretty well. We just have to keep up the fight. It's going to be a really busy week. I'm actually going to be at the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday for our arguments in the presidential immunity appeal in D.C. That's another huge case, massive constitutional case with huge implications. So it's all coming to a head. When President Trump talks about this being election interference, what he's really getting at is the fact that we've got all these legal cases rolling. And instead of him being out in Michigan and Arizona and Wisconsin campaigning for president, he's got a lot on his plate right now. And to me, that's just an outrage. It's an abuse of our whole system.
Yeah, there's there are two ginormous parallel paths here, which is the lawfare that is being used against Donald Trump, but also the political campaign where he's not out there, but able to campaign the way he wants to. But as I've said before, the Biden Justice Department has set the battlefield, and it doesn't seem to be like on the political side of it, that even at these pressers that take place at the courtrooms after a trial lets out for the day, that Donald Trump is losing on that battlefield that he wouldn't have even chosen for himself. I'm glad you mentioned this Thursday at the Supreme Court. That's on the immunity trial, has to do a lot with Jack Smith's the indictments against Donald Trump with Jack Smith. How impactful is that hearing that's going to take place surrounding the immunity plea that or whatever it is that Donald Trump is saying that he should have? How consequential could that possibly be for the president?
Yeah, we think that if the Supreme Court doesn't rule our way in this, the institution of the presidency of the United States of America is over. That what's at issue here is whether a president can be criminally prosecuted for his official acts in office. We're not talking about private conduct, but his official acts in office without being first impeached and convicted, which is the system that our Constitution sets up. We believe our argument is very powerful, very strong, deeply rooted in the Constitution and hundreds of years of practice and case law. We hope the Supreme Court sees things our way. If not, every future president is going to be constantly threatened with criminal prosecution. Every future president is going to effectively be blackmailed by his political opponents, saying, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, we're going to hail you into court the second you leave office and throw you in prison. It's totally anti-American. George Washington warned about this in his farewell address. James Madison warned about this extensively in the Federal Papers. Madison called it the use of newfangled and artificial treasons by political factions to oppress their opponents. That's what we're seeing, the use of these made-up legal theories by the Biden administration and their political allies to oppress President Trump, their principal political rival. We're certainly very excited for Thursday. I think argument's going to go really well, but it's another hoop we have to jump through to vindicate President Trump's rights and to vindicate really the American people's rights to have an election, to have a choice of which candidate they want to vote for on the ballot next November.
We're talking with Trump attorney Will Scharf right now. So if, let's say, those arguments go as well as you're speaking, that they may go this Thursday in front of the Supreme Court regarding the presidential immunity, what are the consequences for charges that have been brought against Donald Trump if you win on that issue the way you hope to?
So that would gut the D.C. prosecution against President Trump. That's one of Jack Smith's two cases. It would have an impact on the Florida prosecution as well, because some of the acts alleged in that indictment are official acts. It could impact the New York prosecution that's now ongoing, because we believe some of the acts that underlie the indictment there were official acts as well, in terms of public communication, certainly. And it would also gut the Georgia prosecution, which relates almost entirely to official, what we believe are official acts in office. So if we win this thing, you know, I think this entire campaign of lawfare against President Trump, it really strikes a serious blow at the heart of it. Even if we get a relatively narrow win, though, if the Supreme Court says some acts are immune and others aren't, that will essentially guarantee that no other trial goes to trial before Election Day. And so at the very least, President Trump will be able to campaign for office as effectively as possible while we litigate out the nitty gritty of which acts may or may not be immune. But again, we think our arguments are very strong. We're talking about official acts here, not private acts. The Supreme Court has recognized that civil immunity exists in that context. We're just asking them to expand that to criminal immunity as well.
Is there haste involved in the ruling that you expect from the Supreme Court after you would make your arguments on Thursday? Will they do that quickly?
I'd actually expect not. I think on an issue of this magnitude, we're likely to see a Supreme Court opinion certainly by the end of session, at the end of June, at the end of the Supreme Court session, but probably not much before that. We would expect a June judgment here from the court, which would be about normal for a case of this magnitude. We're also expecting an opinion on roughly the same time frame from the Supreme Court in the Fisher case, which is a January 6 case relating to what we believe is an unconstitutional abusive use of this obscure federal document destruction statute called 1512C2. If the Supreme Court rules the way I think they will in Fisher, that in and of itself would actually knock out two of the charges against President Trump in Washington, D.C. So the Supreme Court's going to be busy with a lot of this in the next couple months. But we think that we're on the right side here and that we have very strong grounds for the arguments that we're bringing. And hopefully the Supreme Court sees things the same way.
We're speaking with attorney for Donald Trump, Will Scharf. He is joining us. He's also a former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri here, a candidate for Missouri Attorney General. I'm kind of curious. I saw this headline. And again, I am like, I know which room to walk into when we're talking about legal issues. But then I walk in, I'm like, I got nothing. So I have to have people like you, Will, on the show to help hold my hand and guide me through so that I feel like I somewhat understand what's going on. New York, Fox News headline says New York versus Trump, the evidence prosecutors can present if former president testifies. My question to you is, you know, everything that I've heard a lot of legal experts saying, even on the left agenda driven media sites since these charges were brought, was that this Alvin Bragg Manhattan situation was a circus. And like, why are they even doing it? But I'm wondering if there's advantage to getting President Trump under oath at this case for something that could be then used against Donald Trump in another case. Is there the ability to take these trials as a whole, take the whole fabric of what they're throwing against Donald Trump in a way that can use them against each other down the road in other trials?
Yeah. So the decision on whether or not President Trump testifies here, it's going to be his decision and the decision of the trial team led by my buddy and colleague, Todd Blanche, based on the other evidence that comes in and based on whether they think they need it. I've said consistently, though, based on my knowledge of the case, if President Trump goes on the stand, he's going to be a compelling witness because the facts are absolutely on his side. He didn't do anything wrong here. So if he does take the stand, I think it's going to be compelling. The ruling that you're referring to just now relates to the types of evidence that the prosecutors can use on cross-examination if President Trump testifies. I think the judge has been overly generous in what he's going to allow them to examine him on. But there's nothing in there that's particularly surprising or particularly damaging or hurtful. It's really just allowing the prosecutors to ask President Trump about unrelated incidents that may have happened many years ago. At the end of the day, the facts here are very much on our side and they can throw up all the smoke they want. But I have confidence that any fair and impartial juror is going to see this case for what it is, which is an absolute sham.
So just so that I double down and make sure I understand, if you were going to be able to get a trial in Manhattan and a favorable jury to the prosecution, a favorable judge to the Democrat Party, and you maybe were going to lose the case, if they could get Donald Trump to sit in the witness stand and be under oath, do they have wiggle room in being able to ask questions of him while he's under oath that would become admissible in further trials of Donald Trump's down the line?
Probably not admissible directly in further trials down the line. Those would be out of court statements in future trials. So that's not a huge worry here. The idea is what can they ask him on cross-examination to kind of make him look bad? That's what these motions were about, and that's what Judge Mershon's ruling relates to. You know, it's interesting. Frederick Douglass, the great abolitionist, once said that a man's rights rest in three boxes, the jury box, the voting box, and the cartridge box, that basically the three great safeguards of Americans' rights are elections, the Second Amendment, and then the jury. That you can have a biased judge, you can have a biased prosecutor, but at the end of the day, the prosecutors have to convince 12 ordinary Americans plucked off the streets that they've proven beyond a reasonable doubt the allegations in the case that they've brought. And in a case like this, even in New York, I have to believe that the American people are better than this, that the American people will see through what's going on, and that any fair-minded juror who's on that panel is going to look at the evidence here and just say that President Trump did nothing wrong.
Will Scharf, I know that you speak with the president from time to time, but I just wanted to give you the opportunity to speak about Donald Trump's spirit at this point in time. I think a lot of people watch what's going on and they do feel that it is very unfair. That's somewhat a bipartisan response. How do you feel that Donald Trump feels going through this lawfare as the campaign crawls closer to November? How's he doing?
Yeah, look, he's justifiably pissed off at everything that's going on. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous what they're doing to him. But I will say, having worked with him for a while now, the man has absolutely boundless energy and is at heart an optimist. He believes that he's going to win. I believe that he's going to win. And he believes that he's going to be able to do great things for America once again. And I think that's what keeps him going here. I know that it matters to him at a very personal level, the sheer number of Americans who have his back, who are praying for him, who are on his side. We're going to get him through all this. And I think, you know, come next January, he's going to be sitting back in the White House where he belongs. So it's a difficult process. But again, he's got a ton of energy. He's got a ton of optimism and spirit. And I think that's going to come through in the weeks and months ahead.
And there are a lot of people praying for him. There are a lot of people praying for this country right now. It's hard to look around and recognize the greatness that is America right now. And we do need to reestablish that. Will Scharf, thank you for your time today. We're really grateful for it. Brad will be asking you again, I don't know, maybe tomorrow to come back on. We'll have you anytime you've got some time for us. We are very grateful for you.
Appreciate you, Annie. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. Will Scharf is a Donald Trump attorney. He's part of that Trump team, will be present and accounted for as they argue against that for that immunity claim, presidential immunity, this Thursday at the Supreme Court. Hugely consequential to see what the Supreme Court will rule on that. We'll have to wait to find that out. But that process begins later this week and includes Will Scharf. He is a former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri and a candidate for Missouri Attorney General as well. Very grateful to have him and his time for about 35 minutes here today. We're going to take a quick break. Wiggins America, there's a lot of news that is happening. We're going to get to all of the important news throughout the day because we've got Steve Moore at 105 in the next hour and Jason Chaffetz at 125. What did the House do this weekend? What are the Republicans in the House doing? Do you stand by what they did, what they voted for, what they supported? How do you fix it? How do you do anything with this narrow of a majority? Jason Chaffetz at 125. But when we come back, all the other news with Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Monday Roundup! This year's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Gets me every time.
Just love it, huh?
It's the brightest part of my day.
Yeah, definitely Mondays.
Just that part is the peak.
Of any day?
The wildest ride in the wilderness. That part right there is the peak.
Oh, I see. I see the peak. Yes, indeed.
You're adjacent to the peak.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be close to it.
Make it a plateau.
If I can just kind of get in there.
Put that on your resume. Peak
somewhere.
Adjacent.
I'm peak adjacent, you know? I may not be the best employee you could hire, but I'm decent.
Could be worse.
I'm adjacent.
Yeah, I'll show up, and you can count on that. This is the Monday Roundup, of course. As Annie mentioned in the last segment, there is a lot of news going on. This is the other stuff.
We did all Trump at the beginning of the show. So if you missed any of the Trump coverage, we had Will Scharf on for the whole beginning of the show, plus Donald Trump's full statement that he made when he came out of the courtroom. So we did all that. Steve Moore, we're going to talk to him about Earth Day and hope he's made some really solid green investments. And by green investments, he's probably just thinking the color of cash. Steve Moore at 105, and then Jason Chaffetz about all of the money being spent on Capitol Hill that we don't have. So we're getting to the stuff. But until then, go ahead, Ryan.
Big show.
Big show.
I don't want to minimize this, though.
Adjacent to the big show.
Yeah, I'm right there near the peak. The peak is both in the first half of the first hour and the second hour, and then I'll come in.
The intro to the second.
Yeah. Like, this is all around it. But I don't want to minimize this because I'm leading with this one because I felt like this one needs some attention here. California City has approved a $1 million per unit homeless housing project.
Wow.
And this is after
a mil per unit?
$1 million per unit. After an audit, and this is right after this audit, found the state wasted billions of dollars on this crisis. This is Santa Monica. Officials last week approved a multi-million dollar apartment unit for the homeless just days after the release of an audit which found that California could not account for $24 billion it had spent supposedly on the homeless crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you ever look what $1 million will get you in like Southern California and what it'll get you in like Belleville.
Yes, I have.
Just a minor disparity.
There's a difference. Your cost of living is much better here. Spoiler alert. The 122-unit building for the homeless will include a mix, get this, of studio apartments, 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments, along with ground floor retail and residential commercial parking spaces. The design concept available on the city's website shows that the multi-unit apartment will cost more than $123 million, and there's 122 apartments, so just over $1 million per unit. If I were living in Santa Monica, I think I would just say I was homeless.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
No.
A 1 to 3-bedroom apartment that they would just get for free.
There are people in our community here who are getting free housing. The question is, can they take care of them? Can they maintain them? Can they continue to use those facilities as a way to cure the homeless problem, or do they just relocate the homeless problem?
Right.
Because if you don't maintain those investments, then what happens? Everybody knows what it's like to maintain a home if you own it and you don't have a what do you call the person who rents?
Tenant?
No, that the
oh, the landlord?
Does landlord. Yeah, you don't have a landlord to call and say, fix this, fix that. That's the taxpayer that's going to have to fix it. So.
Yep. These are the issues we're dealing with now in 2024. Well, at least California is, although this is a widespread problem. Let's do an Earth Day story. Starbucks.
Hooray!
Yeah, this is for you guys.
For the Earth!
Starbucks.
You know who should be really excited? AOC. We're still here.
We made it.
In pretty much the same capacity as the time where she said we were, like, taking time bombs here.
It's really, if I were her, I would be walking around just sort of praising, you know, using the Pentecostal flags because we made it. Praising God.
Pentecostal's feeling attacked.
No, I'm loving it. She should be just giddy because we made it past her date and everything's fine now. Starbucks has announced that they are using new plastic cups. And I'm assuming they did this in rolling out with Earth Day. The coffee chain has announced the rollout of new disposable cold cups with 20% less plastic. So, great. The new tall, grande, venti, and Trenta-sized cups will use 10 to 20% less plastic than the previous cold cups, said the chain.
Hooray!
Does anybody want to comment on the fact that when I read this and read tall, grande, and venti, I went, which one is which again? Because
you did that in the correct order, shortest to biggest.
Yeah, but doesn't, when you read it, tall sound like you're ordering the biggest
tall,
one?
Tall is tall.
Not if you're refined.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Venti is 20.
Don't you speak Italian? Venti is 20.
Yeah, 20 what?
I don't get it either.
Is that what it is? Yes, it's 20 ounces? Yeah. I never understood.
And grande means big.
I don't get it either.
And Trenta, does anybody know that one?
It's the biggest one.
Can you order that in anything or just certain things?
Depends on the caffeine content.
I'm not that refined. Trenta. What does Trenta mean? Italian? What does it mean?
I don't know.
Brad?
30.
You said you knew
I don't speak Italian.
You knew venti.
I knew venti.
Whatever.
And I know grande because grande is the same in Spanish.
I'm going to speak on behalf of all of us, and you can change my mind if you want, that as long as the new cup is using less plastic and doesn't impact the product, great. But if they're going to do the little bitty caps like they do on the water bottles now that I can barely figure out that they're caps.
What are you talking about?
You know, like the really cheap water bottles that you get, the caps are almost as thin as like a fingernail.
And they just like pop off.
And they just come right off and they're hard to get on. Well, it's to reduce plastic. So as long as the reduction in plastic.
I don't think so. I think it's because they're cheap.
Yes, but.
I don't think it has to do with. Are you talking about like a great value water bottle?
Yes, I am.
I don't really think great value is out saving the environment.
That's the way they're going to bill it, though. You know they are.
I don't know that great value as an off-brand is billing it that way.
Well, somebody's going, oh, we're just trying to save the planet. And you're like, yeah, you're trying to reduce costs.
Bobo says 30. I think Trenta is 30 ounces.
Okay. Anyway. Thank you, Bobo. I can say that as often as possible, please. Last one here, if we have time for it. Florida couple charged after allegedly faking a $1 million lottery ticket.
You going to get away with that?
Kira Enders, 36, Dakota Jones, both of Dafuniac Springs, Florida, are facing several charges, and their charges are big. We're talking larceny, grand theft of more than $100,000. Here's what they did. It's so great. I almost want to see them walk because it's so bold. Enders attempted to return what she said was a winning $50 scratch-off ticket from the Florida lottery game. 500 times the cash is the name of the game. However, authorities told CBS News Miami that the ticket displayed obvious altercations. And what Enders
alterations
tried...
Alterations or altercations?
It says altercations, but they meant alterations.
They fought.
They must have fought over the ticket. And what Enders tried to submit to the Florida lottery allegedly was two different tickets crudely taped together. They had an individual that they thought would crudely take two tickets, this is the sheriff saying this, and put them together and pretend as if it were $1 million winner.
Worth a shot. What's the penalty?
The penalty is severe. It is...
On page
I'm looking at their I'm looking at their charges. They were released from jail already with this, but their bonds are $20,000 and $17,000. So they cost themselves all this money after trying to.
So are they going to go to jail?
I don't know if this is just like until the trial or if that was their ultimate bond, but they knew that it was fake. The person calls in to the lottery office at the gas station and goes, hey, I think I got a fake one here. I'm pretty sure it's two tickets taped together. So they call these two people from the police office and say, hey, we want to confirm that these are real. Can you come down here? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And then they just arrest them.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
And squeezy.
There you go. Man.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Steve Moore is going to join us, and we're going to talk to him about all of the investing we've been doing in our earth and our green energy on our great-grandchildren's dime. We'll see what Steve Moore has to say about that in just a few minutes. And Jason Chaffetz on the busy weekend in the House, what they passed, what they didn't pass, and what are these Republicans supposed to do to expand their majority come November. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.